Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, couple of weeks into free agency and America's favorite free agent. Ira Kaufman is here with us today. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. The gang is all here, Ira, on your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, our great friends at the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. And you know what, Ira? Before we greet you and before we mention later the sadness of losing your good friend, Chuck Berry.
Absolutely.
I know you had a whole podcast.
You ever see me retweet like that, Isbitz?
You were on fire. while you're at it, you know, when you see our stories, feel free to just keep retweeting stories from Joe Bucks fan.
I got Buck fan saying you don't retweet about Jameis Winston like that, Kaufman. You know, Winston's not an icon. Not yet, Lee. Maybe in another decade. Lee, Steve, I'm still decompressing from my trip. Went to New York, 20 degrees.
Hey, you told us last time.
Went from there to Palm Springs, 95. Now here we are, and it's 77 degrees, and we're in the park here.
So you got the bends, is what you're saying?
I see a guy with a raincoat, Lee. I'm getting a little concerned. here we go.
Don't look at him. Just don't look at him. All right, Kaufman. Your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Morse has more at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Like more selection, shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs and more savings, like a new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon to get more. They believe their customers deserve more, Ira. Click Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. Offers good through the end of the month.
Did you see that note from one of our readers, Steve, that said, he's in the market for a Cadillac, and he's going to Ed Morse. Did you notice that?
We get them all the time. I did see the one that said, I drive Cadillacs, and next time I'm going to Ed Morse. I'm excited to do it.
Pass that on to your people at Ed Morse, Stephen. I'm sure you do. You don't miss a trick.
Don't tell me what to do, Kathy.
No, since you had the kind words about Ed Morse Cadillac, prior to that, if people were wondering what the heck you guys were talking about, it was the passing of Chuck Berry. You didn't mention
it. It was the passing.
And you're still Chuck Berry.
A St. Louis native that you know very well, Lee. He's got a statue in the Del Mar Loop. I was there a few years ago when the Bucks played the Rams, and it was raining that day, pouring rain. But I went out there anyway to Blueberry Hill, which was about a $25 cab ride, Lee.
Really?
I actually reached into my pocket, Steve. That's going to be the shock of this podcast. And I went out, you know, that's where he used to play every month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I noticed, guys, in the last year or two, nobody's ever said that they saw Chuck Berry. I knew the end was coming. He was 90,
yeah.
And when it came on Saturday, it was still a shock, Lee, because he's been my main guy now. Chuck Berry, the man, is different than Chuck Berry, the artist. Berry, the man, we got some problems.
Well, you're a radio star. You can go on all sorts of radio shows throughout the country about your NFL expertise. You're the custodian of Canton, not the janitor of Canton,
I understand.
But you went on a St. Louis show, I remember, about that same time, and the main topic of conversation was not the NFL. It was Chuck Berry.
And I went on with
Bernie.
With Bernie, yeah. The Baron of St. Louis. he's now with ESPN Radio, right?
Yes.
He said that he was going to get me an interview with this guy that knew Berry. I never met Chuck Berry. I saw him a few times.
A few times, really?
Of course, he's a little bit before your time. Steve, your daughter, she don't know who Chuck Berry is. Never heard of Maybelline. Never heard of Johnny B. Good. But
well, you covered Don Hudson, so it's understandable.
he's gone. An icon is gone. And, you know, everybody went crazy about David Bowie. They went crazy about Prince. Carrie Fisher. She got a big, you know.
One movie.
But this guy deserves it.
You were right about the icon, Ira. I mean, Jimmy Page is retweeted. You retweeted Jimmy Page. You retweeted, well, I saw AC/DC. I know you're not an AC/DC guy, but that's Jason Light's territory, by the way. But, I mean, all the Mick Jagger.
Absolutely.
All these icons were obviously moved by the past.
Speaking of icons, Steve, that takes us right to Roberto Aguayo.
He's going to pass
this
soon?
This is the second. He's got to let it rock this year in training camp, I'll tell you that.
Well, so here we go, Ira. The stage is set. We've talked about this 700 times. We've all had opinions since last August. And here we are. The Buccaneers have decided that they're going to bring in a kicker who's way better than Aguayo to compete with him. So what's your sage take on this?
My take is, Lee, this is a message to 52 other guys on this football team.
Absolutely.
And the message is loud and clear. Don't take anything for granted. There's going to be competition. Now, look, you know, Jameis Winston doesn't have to worry. Levante David doesn't have to worry. But in generally speaking, this team is capable of doing damage. That's the message. We can't lose a game because of lousy kicking. We can't afford it. And as I said in my column, Steve, I'm standing by it. 2009, maybe Aguayo gets a pass. Bring him back next year. He'll get over the jitters. Not anymore. Not when you go 9-7. You're knocking on the door. Expectations are up, Lee. You talk to people around town. They expect big things from this team.
They expect postseason, that's for sure. And if you can't bank on your kicker, who was, what, hitting 35% of his kicks from over 40 yards? That's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
A jitters, Ira. It's more like a full-fledged seizure. What the hell are you talking about? Jitters. The guy is dreadful.
And I like the fact that Cutter doesn't make excuses for him. No. I like that.
He defends him, but
to a point.
You know,
to a point.
And there were at times publicly it almost seemed like he was making excuses for him. I'm convinced behind the scenes he was like, we got to have a kicker. We got to have at least competition.
So what was your instant reaction, Ira, the moment you heard this, say, hey, Bucs signed Nick Folk?
Well, first thing I thought of was, who's running this team, Jason Leiter or Steve Isbitz? Because you boys have been pumping Folk for a while.
It's definitely Jason Leiter.
That was a salary dump by the Jets. Got nothing to do with, Nick Folk can't kick anymore. He had a pretty good, damn good season last year.
How many
his
salary
opener
dumps?
Was shaky. His opener was shaky. I believe he had a field goal blocked, chip shot, and he missed an extra point. That was the first extra point he'd ever missed as an NFL kicker. I think he had 312 straight. Now, of course, now the rules have changed and the yard line has changed. But Folk is going in there. Steve, we've already listened to his comments, Lee. He's going in with his eyes wide open. It's a wide open competition. And all of a sudden, one of the byproducts of this is training camp. Special teams practice taking on extra meaning now, Lee.
Extra meaning? This is going to be the highlight of training camp. I never thought I'd ever say this.
That's right.
This is going to be the highlight of training camp. Fans are going to be absolutely fixated when Aguayo and Folk are out there quick kicking. I never dreamt I would say this. And shame on Dirk Cutter if he does this in a closed practice. Shame on him. Let the fans watch.
I said the natives are going to revolt over there, Steve. You got to watch those closed practices.
Well, there's a few great layers to this. First of all, thank you, Bucks, for making kicking interesting again and adding intrigue. The hell with training camp. Spring practice.
Underwear
because
football?
Of course, that we'll all be out there watching the kicking.
And charting.
And writing it down.
Charting.
Yeah, but Guile missed two. Folk missed one. That people will want to hear what's going on.
You're right, Steve. Underwear football, I was just thinking today. I wasn't thinking about Aguayo Folk. I was just thinking about underwear football. I'm like, man, that sucks. I've never gotten anything out of underwear football than a sunburn.
And Lee, I think it's only a month. It's only a month away.
April 17th.
Well, in reality, kicking very much is underwear football to begin with. If they played in their underwear, they'd all probably be the same kicker that they are. Guys used to kick barefoot, for God's sake.
Steve's right. We're going to be...
everybody wants to know how Aguayo is going to react to this,
right,
Steve. That's the critical moment.
Well,
Yeah, and nobody wants to know more than Jason Light. Nobody.
It's huge, and there's a few layers here now. Ira and Lee, this is really the money question is, whose job is it to lose? That's the money question, because do either of you think, on top of that question, do you think that Nick Folk, veteran 10-year kicker who's healthy, who's a good kicker, showed up here with the feeling that, hey, if you're tied, you're not going to get the gig?
All right. I think he goes in thinking, I'm going to outkick Aguayo and I'm going to get the gig.
But whose job is it to lose, Ira? Tie, who does the tie go to?
I'll tell you what. If it's tied, that means probably neither one was outstanding. And if that's the case, they bring in another kicker to compete.
Wow.
You can't go in with this hanging over your head. So one of these guys has to kick well.
So if it's a tie, your suggestion is they're both struggling.
That's my suggestion.
And another guy comes in, in August or September?
When the final cuts are made and they come in and they give him a 2-week trial.
If that's the case, Aguayo's gone. Period. He's gone.
Yeah. Aguayo's got to kick well or he's gone.
I'd say perfect. I suggest he's got to be in preseason. He's got to be perfect.
Preseason.
He's got to be perfect. And even that may not be enough.
Hit the ball with confidence, Steve. Hit it with confidence, conviction. You're a golfer, is bit some say.
some say.
I haven't golfed
I've seen you on the miniature golf course through the dragon's mouth over there. It's outstanding. And look, tennis and golf, individual sports, Lee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And kicking's like an individual sport. You got to have confidence. You got to hit it with conviction. I stand over that golf ball. I keep thinking about it and keep looking at it. I know by that point I'm not going to hit a good shot. And Aguayo didn't look like he was confident last year, Lee. He didn't.
Well, he shouldn't have been confident. He had no reason to be confident.
His first kick was a miss, wasn't it? Extra point.
So, Lee, tie goes to...
Wow. If Ira's suggestion is a standard, and they're tied, it means they're both struggling.
Somebody got
to
win it.
Tie goes to someone's name we don't know yet.
I want somebody to win it.
Well, I got to say tie... I don't know why you're so negative. Why does tie mean they're struggling? I understand that's your concept that you're throwing out here.
He thinks folk is that much better.
But, you know, if two guys go, let's say they both go 2 for 3 in the preseason. They both go 2 for 3 on field goals. Nobody misses an extra point. And, of course, in practice, you know, it's back and forth. It's comparable.
Then they probably give Aguayo another shot if folk doesn't outkick him.
I don't think they're bringing Folk into.
But Aguayo better kick well or he's gone. That's all I'm saying.
What Steve is saying is like they're both 2 for 3 in preseason. Well, obviously, we don't know what they're doing in closed practices.
Right.
Cutter has sent kickers out to the stadium to kick while they had open practices at $1. So, I mean, that's an unknown. I don't think they brought Folk in here just to push Aguayo. I really don't.
Are you guys suggesting that if Aguayo was a free agent, he'd already be gone? Are you suggesting
yes.
that?
I think he'd be gone already.
If
yes.
he was a sixth,
would he be gone?
Ira, come on, dude. If he was a sixth round draft pick, he would have been gone after 10 games last year. So, I mean, if he was a
he may not have made the team.
If he was a free agent, he would have been run out of town.
If he was
so
a
to
sixth
say
round,
he's saying hanging by a thread is charitable here.
Yeah, it's charitable. It will be a fascinating competition to see how he responds. Lee made a key statement there with the closed practices. But what's interesting about that is Cutter last year told the media multiple times that Aguayo's nailing him in closed practice.
Yeah, he did say that.
Mm-hmm. So
why I said he defended.
So I don't know how that would help Aguayo if he's good in practice again. They'd be like, well, he was good in practice last year. So he's got to be perfect. I think Aguayo's got to be perfect to survive this.
I agree.
One thing I floated on JoeBucksFan.com, Ira, maybe you can retweet it. That would be nice. The
suggestions are unbelievable.
He doesn't miss a beat, Ira.
No, he doesn't.
When the schedule comes out next month, okay, we're going to find out.
Oh, I know where you're going. This is a good point.
We're
going
to find out when the Bucks play in Green Bay and in Buffalo. Both of those games are on the schedule.
All right.
Now, if the schedule makers are unkind to the Bucks and they're Thanksgiving in Buffalo and December in Green Bay, I have to think that's going to help Foles out.
He did the same thing
Nick Folk out immensely. Because he's got the experience kicking in the elements.
In Buffalo. He kicks in Buffalo every year.
And
it's a 16-game schedule, Isbitz. You're going to focus on two games?
Right. Those two games could be playoffs or not.
Ira, there you go. I'm just saying, if it's tied, we're playing a tie ball game here. Those two games are going to have to weigh heavily for Folk.
Look at him. He's already looking at the schedule.
Those two games, if your goal is 10 games, those two games, that's 20% of your wins.
I've never seen two guys jump on a trend like you guys. Didn't you have Aguayo as trade bait the other day? Mm-hmm. You guys don't miss a trick.
Well, you don't think they would trade him if they could get a draft day six-round
pick? Who wants Aguayo, gentlemen? Who wants him? You're answering your own question. Come on now, Steven.
It only takes one. What idiot wants to pay Mike Glennon $18 million guaranteed? Josh McCown just signed for $6 million.
I got to ask you about
the Jets.
You want to give up on Aguayo right now? And if I'm Jason Light, and I have scouts in that building, there is a little investiture. Now, in the end,
is
it going to matter? No, it's not going to matter. But you're talking about right now in March. Why would you want to give up on Aguayo in March? It's a little premature.
Yeah, I see your point. But you know what? You're bringing Folk in, so you obviously have serious doubts, number one. Number two, if you could get a draft pick. You find some sap to give up the
draft. You're never going to recoup the second round pick.
No. But
newsflash.
We know Jason uses these draft picks as ammunition to move up. He's done it before. Aguayo, for example.
Newsflash. Newsflash, Kaufman. It's coming over the wire. The Bucks have already given up on Aguayo. What are you missing here?
Listen to Isbitz.
They just signed a good, strong NFL legit kicker. What other team signs two kickers like the drafts? I mean, this is ridiculous.
All right, hold on. Let me stop you two gentlemen, I use that.
Now, let me finish this point. They're not rooting against Aguayo. I say giving up because when you bring in a guy's replacement who's better than him, you've sort of given up. But I'll say this. I'm not talking about in March. I'm talking about a draft day trade. If somehow, some way, Aguayo's been kicking well in April and we're all writing about it, maybe that's the case, and they're talking about it. If somebody
feels, I was just doing a face palm here.
If the Browns with 7 million picks want to throw Jason Light a sixth rounder for Aguayo because they believe he might bounce back, well, take it.
All right, Can I be privy to the conversation?
Now it's all you.
Jason Light and Joel and Brian Glazer. It might go something like this.
You're actually blushing. Joel, you're laughing so hard.
This is draft night. You know, Joel, put down your vodka martini. I have something to tell you. We just got a sixth-round pick for Roberto Aguayo. Now, here's Glazer to Light. Wait a minute. Refresh my memory. Didn't you trade up in the second round for Roberto? Yes, we did. But we admit our mistakes, Joel. Okay. Let's talk about your contract in about 6 months, Jason. Have a vodka martini. There's people in that building that are not in a hurry to get rid of Roberto Aguayo. You have to realize that, my friend. These people have clout right now. They have clout.
And oh, who are you suggesting?
They have
Ira?
Clout, Steve. And, you know,
Start with a G, these people?
I'm not in a hurry to admit a mistake if I don't have to.
There's no rush. There's no rush here. But
who has more clout than Light?
Well, the guys that pay the checks have the ultimate clout. Yeah. No question about that. I don't think they've given up on Aguayo. You think they have. If he doesn't respond, he's gone. Period. End story.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's added great intrigue to every special team session in training camp.
When he's coming to training camp with a big chart, he's going to have graphs and everything.
I can't believe it, but I think I will.
And you know what? You know, fans a lot of times wonder how the relationship with the Bucks and the media work. You know, it's not all fans. Most don't, but a lot do. And you know what? You know there's going to be moans and groans when we're sitting there typing up Aguayo 5 of 6 in April or May. Or mm-hmm. June, mm-hmm. or the mini camp, he hooked it. But that's what the Bucks have asked for, and I think that's actually part of the pressure they're looking for. They want us to, and that's why I think Cutter will actually put front and center Aguayo and Fo, kick in front of everybody. Let's all let everybody lay as much pressure as we can simulate.
As much pressure as you can put on
in
Aguayo.
June.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, June. You're talking about how the Bucks react to what we do. Remember when Cutter got all bent out of shape because everybody was asking him about fights in practice?
Right.
Yes. He said, if anybody takes out of this practice, the first thing they mention is the fight. You don't know what you're talking about. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that. I was early Cutter. Early, and that's when I went on the podcast. I said, he's wound a little tight, gentlemen.
Didn't he also say at that same, I hate to use the word diatribe, really wasn't a diatribe, but it was more of a venting. Didn't he also say it was up to me, all these practices to be closed or something like that?
Yeah. He did. I said something to the effect of I wouldn't let any of you guys in here.
Hey, I got
it. Was in Jacksonville where Cutter, there was a fight. I think it was Ali Marpet. I was out there at the joint practice. Ali Marpet, it was either Hawley or Marpet. It wasn't clear. And Cutter comes to the podium there, and he's basically said something like, I'll give the first guy, you know, $20 or $75 to not ask me a question about
fighting. And there's Isbits with
no,
his hand up.
No, it was Cummings. Roy Cummings got the money from Cutter. I wrote about it.
Hey, real quick, since Steve brought up Josh McCown. You know Jets fans better than most. You grew up in Brooklyn. My gosh, how are the Jets fans not gargling with Drano right now?
I don't understand how Josh McCown's name is still on NFL.com in any manner, other than he's announcing his retirement. I don't understand this. The New York Jets, are you kidding me? Josh McCown should be a backup, maybe, for a decent team. That's all he should be. The Jets are in rebuilding mode. Where are they going with Josh McCown?
They're going for the top three
and
picks.
I'll tell you what. You guys might not agree, and if I know Isbits, he doesn't agree with anything I say, but I'll say it right now. You know, Spike Lee in general needs to shut his pie hole on a lot of different issues.
Yeah.
But he's not totally off base on Kaepernick. He is not. Geno Smith gets a job. Josh McCown gets a job. This guy can't get a job. I'm not saying rightfully or wrongfully about teams wondering about how their fan base is going to react. But to say it's not a factor, I think is naive.
Oh, beyond naive. You're going to put up that kind of crap for a second?
Can't say it's not a factor.
For a backup? For a backup?
Whether it's true, whether you like that or not. Whether it should be a factor, it is a factor.
One of the tabloids, I know they're already after Todd Bowles. They want to.
He's not long for that job.
They want to flog him in public. But the tabloids and Josh McCown, can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. Nice guy, Steve.
Well,
nice guy.
We can jump into the Kaepernick issue just a little bit. It's hard to say when you don't know what Kaepernick wants. Maybe he's looking to only be a starter. And you don't know that. And look, he hasn't been very good in, what, 3 full seasons? He's 30. He's not some kid out of college.
He got benched for Gabbert, of all people.
I would give him a second shot.
I mean, he wasn't terrible last year on a bad team.
I'd bring him in to compete, Lee, just to compete. Just to compete. I got a question for you,
but
two, John.
There's always stuff you don't know about, and it's not always apparent.
Yes.
You know, it's just
maybe the guy's not a good teammate. You know, here we go with the Terrell Owens.
But
again.
Jim Harbaugh gave him an apparently
this morning. Yes,
yeah, he gave him this incredible endorsement
announcement.
And you'll see how it shakes out. But he is also a unique quarterback. You know, as far as his skills, so you need to.
We know what he once was, and he was very dangerous.
He was very dangerous. Now I had heard. I don't know if it was the NFL Network I heard this on. Today, I think I heard this. I don't have any problem with it. Actually, he ought to be lauded what he's trying to do. The way he's going about it is beyond idiotic. And, oh, by the way, just register to freaking vote. If you have that kind of conscience, vote.
So there's different ways to draw attention to issues.
Yeah, he destroyed his mission the way he did it. And then he's indignant that, oh, I didn't mean that. Well, I just crapped on your living room floor. I didn't mean for it to stink, you know. But at any rate, I heard that he's so involved with his political stuff, for lack of a better term, that he's not really focused on his job at hand.
That's a problem. Steve, I got an issue I want to bring up.
I don't know. I mean, to nail that down, I believe Kaepernick already said he's not sitting for the anthem next season. I think he made that statement public.
That is right.
Sort of what his deal is sort of in the past, but how he's judged, we don't know.
I want to throw this out at you two esteemed gentlemen. And that's my word for the day in quotes. Esteemed.
I thought investiture was.
Is there a suggestion out there in Buckville, in Buckland?
Buckville.
That tight end is a high priority for this team, and excuse me, but I really don't see it that way. Maybe O.J. Howard is an exceptional talent, but a lot of people, when they're listing Buck priorities, put tight end like second, and I don't get that. Lee, am I missing something?
No, you're not missing something, and join the club. I'm the same way. I don't understand it. You got a guy that led the league in touchdowns for tight end.
No, before this guy came around, it was a problem.
Yeah.
I understand.
I mean, why would you want to take away targets from a guy that, I emphasize this phrase, led the league in touchdowns. Led the league. Why would you want to dilute this guy? If anything, you want to throw him more balls.
Isn't there a reason to think Brate's just going to keep getting better, Steve? I mean, at his age and experience?
What, 24?
What am I missing here?
What are you missing? Well, from who? The fans or from
the
league?
He's not athletic enough. He's not this. He's not that.
Brate?
The guy catches everything they throw to him.
All right, look, the O.J. Howard phenomena is tied to people believe he is a complete three-down blocker as well as dangerous receiver tight end. Aren't many of those guys anymore, period.
No, there are.
So they believe he's a unique talent. And then there's
And Cutter could find a way to use two tight ends, right, Steve?
And then there's the New England syndrome that everybody has with, oh, they use two tight ends all the time and two tight end attack and blah, blah, blah. That's all very nice, but most teams don't. The large majority don't. And so people say, hey, he's a great weapon. If he's the best weapon available, you got to get him. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the way Cutter wants to run his offense. And no matter what anybody's listening says, Lee's right. It will dilute the balls you throw to Cameron Brate. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea. What I will say, though, what I think makes it a little bit more interesting is that in free agency this year, some positions didn't get paid. Running back, but tight end got paid big time. Some of these and these renewed contracts for tight ends. Cameron Brate, I retweeted a few things at Joe Bucks fan. I mean, he must be drooling. This guy's getting a one-year contract for $6 million. This guy's signing big. So tight end money's going up. And if they believe the market's going up for tight ends, well, if Jason Lights drafts a guy in the first round, late 19, you know, that gets a guy cheap for a long time. Maybe they don't think tight Brate's going to be worth the money. I don't know.
To me, you celebrate that you have Cameron Brate.
Yes.
It's a heck of a coup.
But to me, I wouldn't drafting a tight end in the first round, lunacy
now,
for this team.
This guy people talk about from Toledo, like a third-round pick? Okay,
great,
fine.
Sure.
Third round, sure. But, yeah, first
Steve,
round,
could I
no.
suggest, you know, Lee Cutter's big post-season autopsy led with yards after catch, and that's not Brate's forte. He's not very good at it. He's probably never going to be very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard might be a big play receiver, once in a while breaks a 40-yard catch. That fits a little bit of the mold of what they're looking for. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, Ira, you got the sage wisdom. Maybe you can do some sniffing on this topic.
You know.
You'll be at the NFL owners' meetings on Monday, and we'll have some podcasts from out there
All
now.
All I know is Brate catches everything in his radius.
And he scores touchdowns.
Late. You like the touchdowns.
Well, so does Cutter, even more so.
Absolutely.
he might not get as many touchdowns this year with more options for Winston to throw to and hopefully a real running game where they can, you know, but who knows? He's still an excellent player. And they like these young,
he's ascending.
They like these young developing guys. They love Humphreys. We've talked about that here before. They love Braid. Well, what's not to like? So I don't think that that's first round priority.
Here's one for you that we'll really get.
Unless you're convinced Howard is a very exceptional talent.
Hey, if you're going to draft that guy number one when you got Braid on your roster, you better hope he's Ozzie Newsome.
Yes.
You better hope he's Ozzie Newsome. Here's one for you real quick. And this is the tight end issue. And this will really get Bucs fans rocks off. You know, they'll, oh, O.J. Howard can block. Braid can't block. Well, there's a guy on the Bucs roster that Bucs fans despise, but the Bucs organization loves him for his blocking. His name is Mr. Stocker.
He's still here.
Yes.
He's still here.
Now, I can just imagine there's some fans that just hit a telephone pole running off the road, me staying.
And if Cutter, if Cutter didn't think Stocker was a useful player, he'd be gone.
Yep.
He wouldn't be here.
Yeah, no, look, he can block. He was on the field when the Bucs were running the ball like wild 2 seasons ago, and they love his special
teams.
Great
guy in the room.
Awesome guy.
Love his special teams work. And so, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Luke Stock. See, people get all crazy. Stocker was a fourth-round pick. What's wrong with your fourth-round pick just becoming a serviceable tight end who plays good special teams and can block? That's
you ask any NFL GM.
That's
your fourth-round pick.
Probably
is
the definition of a fourth-round pick.
How many years has he been on the team?
This is his seventh season coming up.
Any NFL GM, if you told him this guy in the fourth round is going to be around for 7 years, they can't pull the trigger quick enough.
All right, Iris. 7 years does not compare to the 70-plus years of Ed Morse. Everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive. That's the easiest way to go. And enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks. I've had that done, actually. It's fantastic. They have this machine, and you don't have to, like, wait to, you know, make an appointment and get your car up on the lift and all that. It's
I'm looking at the Kemper. I think he might need his alignment check, too. Take that one, Commish.
I don't even know what to do with that one.
Touché.
Car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. See dealer for all details and get it all started at edmorsecadillactampa.com.
There was a question for Ira, if you want, on Twitter.
Yeah, you know what? We'll do questions the next podcast. Next podcast.
All right,
since we're wrapping this one up, and I know Ira had a few topics, we're going to have a little more Q&A on Thursday. So you know what? If you still have some time to get in your questions. And
let's remind people, Steve, that we'll be heading to Phoenix next week.
NFL owners meetings, harassing Dirk Cutter. You were talking vodka martinis with Team Glazer. You seem to have some knowledge.
Jason Light will be available also.
Well, yes. So we'll be hounding and pounding there. It's always a lot of good info. So Ira, wrap this up here. At the receiver position, here we are. It's March 21st. Am
yes.
I correct? March
yes,
21st?
That is correct, yes.
So far in free agency, we've added a receiver in DeSean Jackson, and we've lost one in Russell Shepard. I mean, as time keeps ticking, does this surprise you? They are not deep at receiver. You know, are you just resigned to the fact now that they're going to get a couple in the draft?
They're going to get one in the draft and pick up a veteran, I think. And, you know, a sneaky move, Steve, I don't want to, you know, give credit to another NFC opponent, South opponent, but Ted Ginn was not a bad pickup by the Saints. Not a sneaky pickup. They lost Brandon Cooks. They need a speed complement. Steve, you and I, you know, we talked about Ted Ginn as a sneaky fourth receiver for the Bucs. It didn't happen. You know, look, the guy's not Julio Jones, but he can contribute. And I think the Bucs are going to be looking. There are going to be people available, Steve, and I think some of them that are going to be available at final cutdowns are going to surprise us. Teams are shedding salaries left and right. That's not going to change in the next month. And Light and his guys are going to pounce. And they're also going to draft a wide receiver.
And Ari, your Wednesday column, what do you got cooking for tomorrow?
You know what? I'm going to go back to my old familiar stomping ground, Steve. What's the one part of this whole thing that can bring this crashing down? With all DeSean Jackson and Winston and the offensive line.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't addressed it.
I thought you were going to say a Bette Midler concert.
No, Steve, that's the position. that they're going status quo.
Yeah, when you said stomping grounds, I was thinking Golden Corral. Bette Midler.
Got Bette Midler, you got Stomping Corral, maybe a little Neil Diamond or something.
No, Golden Corral, the buffet. The buffet, Ira.
I'm gonna do a little laser focus on the boys up front.
Excellent. All right, everybody listening, if you're not listening on iTunes, you can find all the podcasts there. Actually, Lee and I, when we filled in for Ira last week on the podcast, we went very deep on the offensive line, almost a whole podcast on the O-line. Got some critical acclaim for that yesterday, so that
nice.
Was fun.
Critical acclaim. I don't know who the critics were, but okay.
And Steve, before the draft, maybe the week before, maybe we do another Clash of the Titans with Kaufman and Jason Pulowski.
Justin
Pulowski, whatever his name is.
So a podcast on iTunes, you can subscribe, podbean.com, and every Tuesday and Thursday, except when we change the schedule, on joebucksfan.com. All right, Kaufman, it's been good. Enjoy your buffet.